Okay, now this evening we're going to take another look at Psalm 70. Psalm 70, I'm entitling the message from the words found in verse 4. Let those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. We do seek the Lord. We are glad in our blessed Savior. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. So believers do love God's salvation. Believers do love God's salvation. Another reference, turn one page over to Psalm 71, verse 14. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I'll make mention of thy righteousness, even thy only. And then I found another reference in Psalm, turn one more page, Psalm 74, verse 10. Excuse me, verse 12. Psalm 74, verse 12. My God, for God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. He saves his people with an everlasting salvation. That's the good news of the gospel. We are, yes, we are great sinners. But as Newton said, I'm a great sinner, but I have a great Savior. And that's what sinners need. We need a Savior. Grace is for the guilty, mercy is for the miserable, and salvation and redemption for those who are ruined. Believers truly do love God's salvation because they love who God's salvation is. We love who God's salvation is. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is God's Savior. He's God's Christ, He's God's Savior, and He is all our salvation. I like the way Paul writes about the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls Him God our Savior. God our Savior. Remember the words of Simeon we read recently in Luke chapter 2. Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. In that 40-day-old baby, God Almighty manifested in the flesh. He looked square in the face of that babe and said, this is salvation. He is the Savior. The Lord revealed unto him that that is salvation in a person. Surely there is salvation in no other. As Peter declared, we just read it a moment ago in Acts chapter 4, neither is there salvation in any other. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this psalm is called a Psalm of David to bring to remembrance. A Psalm of remembrance. Oftentimes, I think you're just like I am, oftentimes we remember the things we should forget, don't we? And we forget the things we should remember, don't we? We remember the things we should forget and forget those things we should remember. All scriptures were given unto us to remind us that all that God has promised, God is able to perform, will be done, will be accomplished. Saving faith is persuaded like Abraham of all that God has promised, He's able to perform. I'm persuaded that God is able to perform all things for us. All the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, and amen, and to the glory of God. God who hath begun a good work in you, He will perform it. Aren't you glad that salvation is based upon His faithfulness, His performance, all things He's accomplished for us? That's what we should always remember. Because of our sinful infirmities and frailties, we need to be reminded all the time from the Word of God. We need to be reminded of who we are. Who we are. That is, He says, I know, Paul says, that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I cannot. We need to be reminded of who we are. There's none righteous, no, not one. as Paul said, oh wretched man that I am, we need to be reminded not only of who we are, but who God is. God is not who we think He is. God's who He is, as He reveals Himself in Holy Scripture. I've been reading through the book of Habakkuk, and I found this scripture in Habakkuk chapter 1 and Habakkuk chapter 2. Let me just read it to you. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? Thou art of pure eyes to behold evil and cannot look on iniquity. That's Habakkuk 1, 12 and 13. And then I found this verse as I read through chapter 2. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. So we need to be reminded of who we are. Sinners. Sinners saved by God's grace. Sinners through and through. And then we need to be reminded that God is holy. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And we need to be reminded of who the Lord Jesus Christ truly is and what He's done for us. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He put away our sin by the sacrifice of Himself. We need to be reminded of what He did for us. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. The Lord has given us an ordinance to observe. We call it the Lord's table. He said, as oft as you do this, do it in remembrance of me, my body broken for you, my blood shed for you. Psalm of remembrance. We need to be reminded of the gospel all the time. Now, let's look at Psalm 70. I want to group together verses 1 and verse 5. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me. O Lord, O God, O Lord. He's my God and He's my Lord. He's the only one that can help me because I'm so desperately wicked. Look at verse 5. I'm poor and needy. Verse 1 and verse 5. I'm poor and needy. How many times have we seen that in the book of Psalms? Poor and needy. I'm poor and needy. I think I counted 10 times at least. David said, I'm poor and I'm needy. Make haste unto me, O God, right now. Make haste. Thou art my help. God is our help, refuge in time of trouble. Thou art my help. Thou art my deliverer. O Lord, make no delay. I'm in need right now. I need salvation right now. Today is the day of salvation. O Lord God, make haste. That is, hurry to deliver me without fail. Preserve me. Recover me. Rescue me. Save me. Isn't that the sinner's cry? I asked had a dear friend one time that asked me. He said, I'm having trouble praying unto the Lord. Can you give me some help? And I said, yeah, I'll give you 7 words. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's my constant plea. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Lord, make haste to help me. Who else is able? Who else is able to help? He's able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him. He's able to save us and able to keep us from falling. Who else is willing to save? He said, all that the Father giveth to me, they will come to me, and those that come to me, I will in no wise cast them out. Who else is pleased to do so? He's hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. When Paul talks about God's mercy to him in Galatians chapter 1, he said, it pleased the Lord to reveal His Son in me. When will a sinner be saved? When it pleases the Lord. None but our kinsman redeemer. You remember our study through the book of Ruth. Ruth needed a redeemer. And she had one in the kinsman redeemer, Boaz. None but our kinsman redeemer, who is near kin to us, who has the right to redeem, who is able to redeem, and who is willing to redeem, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Boaz is a picture and type, personal type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also see the reasons why we need salvation. Look at verse 5, Psalm 70, verse 5. I'm poor, bankrupt, have nothing, know nothing, am nothing. Man at his best day is altogether a nothing. Vanity. I'm poor. I'm poor. The reasons we need salvation is because I'm poor and needy. We're spiritually bankrupt. We have nothing, know nothing, and are nothing before God. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. We are needy, sinful creatures. What do we need? Chiefly and mainly and only is the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything God has for sinners is in Christ. Christ is all and in all. We're going to take a good look, Lord willing, Sunday morning in Colossians chapter 2, where it says, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete. We stand complete in him. Anything and every blessing that God has for sinners is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. I like the prayer of Hannah found in 1 Samuel 2, where she prayed, the Lord raises the poor up out of the dust and lifts the beggar from the dunghill that he may set him among the princes. And that's exactly what God done for us. What has the Lord what has the Lord delivered us from? Make haste to help me, O God, my deliverer. He is the deliverer. That's what the Redeemer does. The Redeemer delivers his people from their sin. Sin is our problem. Christ is the remedy. His blood atonement. When he by himself purged our sin, he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. What has Christ delivered us from? He's our deliverer. He delivered us from our sin. From its penalty, death, and guilt, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He has delivered us from the power of sin's grip. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day soon we'll be delivered from the very presence of sin, when the Lord will make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. He's delivered us from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and one day right soon from the very presence of sin, when we'll be just like him, predestinated to that end. Now look at verse 2 and 3. Psalm 70, verse 2 and 3. Let them, notice, I underscored this in my Bible here. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. David had many, many enemies, including many of his own family. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them, I don't want to be in that crowd. Let them be turned backward for reward of their shame, that say, ah, ha, we got you now, David. Let them, all those, who are these people? All those who are enemies to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. All those that oppose the way of sovereign grace through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Powerful and weighty judgments are given to those who are enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, let them be ashamed. Let them be ashamed. Now, if you don't want to turn, I'll read it for you. But if you want to find Isaiah 45, Isaiah 45. Surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God beside thee. Isaiah 45, 15. Verily thou art a God that hideth thyself, O God of Israel. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them that go to confusion together, that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed or confounded, world without end. Well, what a difference. They shall be ashamed. They shall be confounded. God's people will never be confused, will never be confounded. Not at all. None whatsoever. Let me see if I can find another reference for you. Let me just read it to you. You're familiar with this. First Peter chapter 2. He said, if so, you've tasted, verse 3, that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as into a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. What about those who do not believe on him? They shall be ashamed and confounded. How confounded and ashamed and confused will folks be when they stand before the throne of Almighty God and hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. What a terrible day that will be. I don't want to be in that crowd. Let them be turned backward for reward of their shame, their evil. I don't want to be numbered or found among that crowd. Do you? No. Let's say, aha! Those that would make fun and ridicule and scorn the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ at the power of God unto salvation. I don't want to be with that crowd that said that day when Pilate said, shall I crucify your king? And they said, we have no king but Caesar. Away with him. Crucify him. I don't want to be in that crowd. By God's grace, he had delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now, look at verse 4. In closing, verse 4. Let all those that seek thee, and we only seek him by his grace. We only seek the Lord by his grace. Whenever you find a sinner seeking salvation in Christ, you find a Savior who's drawing him with everlasting love. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad. Be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, well, let God be magnified. Praise the Lord. Those seeking the Lord and those rejoicing in the Lord are those that love God's salvation. Let him get all the honor and glory. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive all honor, glory, blessing, and power both now and forever. Both now and forever and ever. Who are these people? Poor and needy sinners who have been delivered by his grace. Believers are seekers. They seek to know the Lord Jesus Christ, don't they? Why are you here this evening? I want to know more of him, more of his person, more about his work. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Believers are seekers of the Lord, seeking to know his will, seeking to rest under his sovereign care. Believers do rejoice in him, don't they? They do rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another reference I was reading today in the book of Habakkuk. It's one of those little books that's kind of hard to find because we don't refer to it very much, but I had this in the bulletin a couple of weeks ago. Believers do rejoice in the Lord. Habakkuk 3, verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, and the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, and the flocks shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Boy, that's bad news, bad news, bad news, bad news. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So we can always rejoice in the Lord. Believers are seekers. Seekers to sit at his feet, to take his yoke upon us, and to learn of him. Believers do rejoice in him. And then thirdly, believers do love God's salvation. You see that? Let such as love thy salvation say all the time, morning, noon, and evening, every day, 24/7. Let God be magnified. Let God be magnified. Believers do love God's salvation. We love Him because He first loved us. That's the only reason. Now, let me give you five reasons why believers love God's salvation. Believers love God's salvation because we've experienced that salvation in our heart. Salvation is a work that Christ has done for us, but salvation is also a work that He does within our heart. God, who has begun a good work in you, will perform it, will perfect it. It's a revelation of the glory of God's grace in our soul. That's what it is. It's a revelation. You remember when the Lord said to His disciples, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." "Blessed art you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood did not reveal that unto you, but my Father hath revealed that unto you." You see, salvation is a revelation of God in our heart. Now, I can preach and preach and preach, and by God's grace, I'm going to continue to preach the Word, preach the Gospel, but I cannot reveal Christ to your heart. That's not my business. That's God's business. He'll take the things of Christ, God the Holy Spirit, will take the things of Christ and reveal them unto you. So believers love God's salvation because it's a revelation of the glory of God. Remember, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our heart to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that shines in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, believers love God's salvation because of the method of it, because of the power of it. And we can say with Paul, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and the salvation to everyone who believes it, Jew or Gentile." Therein, that gospel is the very righteousness of God revealed in that gospel. Believers love God's salvation because of the method of it, the power of it. The power of it and the method of it. What is the power of it? God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to His works, but according to God's purpose and grace. God saves every sinner whom He wisely saves on purpose. God never saved a sinner by accident. Always on purpose. Purpose. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Purpose. That's a special word. His purpose and His grace. He worketh all things at the counsel of His own will. Purpose and grace. And then we love God's salvation because of the method of it. The method of it. How do we receive this salvation? Not by doing, by believing. Faith is a gift of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The method and means of salvation was devised, purposed by God from all eternity, and accomplished in time when the Lord Jesus Christ came and fulfilled all things for us. In the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. And because you are sons of God by His grace, He called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We love the method of it. Faith, substitution, satisfaction. Substitution, Christ our substitute, wounded for us, bruised for us, who made complete satisfaction to God's law and justice. I couldn't satisfy God. No sinner can, but the Lord Jesus Christ did. We love God's salvation because of the sureness of it, because of the experience of it, because of the sureness of it, because of the method and power of it, because of the sureness of it and the certainty of it. There's a certainty of salvation in Christ. All those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ are S-A-V-E-D, saved by His grace. This covenant of salvation is ordered in all things and is sure. We run no risk whatsoever in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for all of our salvation, all of our righteousness. I venture everything I have on Him, my soul, body and spirit, I have committed all to Him in the saving of my soul. We run no risk trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. His covenant orders in all things and is sure. Remember David's last words? Although it be not so with my house, God hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and is sure. This is all my hope and all of my salvation. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ is called the surety of the covenant. It's ordered in all things and is sure. We have the word of God there in our hand, which is called the sure word of prophecy. Not one promise of God's book will fail. Everything He said will come to pass. And His covenant mercies are sure. His covenant word is sure. And His covenant work is sure. It is a faith that it might be by grace, that the promise might be sure to all the seed. That is Romans 4:16. It is a faith that it might be by grace, that the promise might be sure to all the covenant children. Fourthly, we love God's salvation because of the completeness of it. The perfection of it. We're complete in Christ. The salvation that's of the Lord is a finished work. Nothing needs to be added. Nothing remains unfinished. The Lord Jesus Christ upon Calvary's tree, you remember what He said? He said salvation is finished. He said redemption is accomplished. He said, I glorified Thee on the earth. I finished the work. He prayed in John 17, I finished the work You gave me to do. The blessed Savior did not die to make salvation a possibility. He died to secure and finish the salvation of God's covenant people. Redemption is accomplished by what He did. His blood, not the blood of bulls and goats. With His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place. He obtained eternal redemption for us. Redemption is accomplished. Righteousness is established, right? Not by the deeds of our hand, but by the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we say with Paul, we count everything else lost and ruin and dung that we might win Christ and be found in Him. He is our righteousness. Blessed is that man to whom the Lord would impute righteousness without works. It's not imputed nonsense. I had one man tell me one time, well, that's just imputed nonsense. No. Blessed is the man to whom God would impute righteousness without works. That's covenant language. That's Bible language. Reckoned us. Counted, imputed righteousness unto us. Christ is our righteousness. He's made unto us our righteousness. Redemption is accomplished. Righteousness is established by His faithfulness. Reconciliation is perfected. God was in Christ reconciling us unto Himself. Can it get any better than that? Regeneration is final. How many times is a sinner regenerated? One time. You hath He quickened who were dead. He gives His sheep eternal life and they'll never perish. I have 5 points. Here's the last one. Best of all, we love God's salvation because of the Redeemer and the Savior Himself. We're in love with Christ. He is altogether lovely. To you who believe, we read a moment ago, to you who believe, He is precious. Salvation, therefore, is not in a profession. It's not in a pool. Certainly not in a place. Not in a position. Salvation is in a person. Mine eyes have seen Thy salvation. Now turn to 1 John. I do want you to turn to this one. 1 John chapter 5. I'll let you go. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 10. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. 1 John 5:10. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is a record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now look down to verse 20. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus Christ is the true God, and Jesus Christ is eternal life. He is eternal life. Now, Psalm 70, look back there for a moment. Look at verse 4 again. Psalm 70, verse 4. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, what do we say? To God be the glory. Great things he had done. God forbid us to glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. But let him glory in this, that he knows me, that I am God, and beside me there is no other. God forbid we should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let God be God. God is God. And we magnify him and we worship him. We worship him as he is, as God. As God, God our Savior. We love God's salvation by his grace.